It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
In our short series, Arguing with God, we next examine five ways in which we resist God. We'll approach these ways of resisting through a true story about an endangered baby who becomes a cosmopolitan prince, then an out-of-the-way shepherd, then a great leader. The baby was supposed to be killed at birth, but his family took extreme measures. He was adopted by Egyptian royalty, and his name became Moses. Moses, the cosmopolitan prince, then kills an Egyptian and flees to a remote territory where he tends sheep for 40 years. You can read about these first 40 years of Moses' life in Exodus chapter 1 and 2. It's after another 40 years that Moses saw something really strange. While tending sheep in the desert, Moses' curiosity drew him to a bush on fire that did not burn. And as he approached this bush that was burning but did not burn up, his name was called out from within that bush, Moses, Moses. Exodus 3, verses 2 and 4. This is how God chose to reveal himself to Moses. He gave him a task. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, I don't know how you or I would respond to this, but it's at this point that Moses begins to resist God's commission. These ways of resisting God are also techniques we use to resist God today in our lives. The first technique of resisting God is, I am nobody. Moses responds to God's commission with, quote, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Exodus 3, verse 11. In other words, Moses says, I'm nobody. After all, for the last 40 years I've been herding sheep in a virtual exile. This is now my life, isn't it? Do you try to avoid God this way? Are you telling him that he's made a mistake? You can't see how you, as an individual, can do what God asks. Perhaps you anticipate what you'll have to do and you get uncomfortable. And the Lord says to Moses, I will be with you. The promise of God's presence to be with us is sufficient answer to the concern that we are nobody. If he chooses you for an act of service, he has his reasons, and he does not make mistakes. The second technique of resisting God is, I have no authority. We hear Moses using the second point of resistance in Exodus 3, verse 13. He says to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? What shall I say to them? We may attempt to dodge God's call because we have no status or position. We have no established platform to do what God is asking. Perhaps it comes from the question, what right do I have to do that? God replies to Moses and by extension to us with his name and his authority. In Exodus 3 verses 14 to 22, he gives Moses his name and his authority. So, when we wonder what right we have to do something God has asked us to do, for instance, to tell someone the good news of Jesus Christ, we can hear what God says to Moses on this same point. The name and the authority of our God revealed as Jesus Christ, he has commanded us, and that's all the answer we need, all the authority. The third technique of resisting God is, I have no credibility. Even if you grant that God is with you, and he has given you his authority, you may still ask, who's going to believe me? This is exactly what Moses' objection is in Exodus 4, verse 1. He says, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, Lord, the Lord did not appear to you. In other words, I have no credibility. Why should they believe me? And the Lord provides Moses with three physical signs, demonstrations of God's power that Moses can perform to convince anyone who doubts him. In the same way, the Lord provides us with demonstrations of power that we can perform to convince the doubts of others through the Spirit of God. The fourth technique of resisting God is, I have no talents. Moses is still not convinced, and in Exodus 4, verse 10, he says, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since. You have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Well, you may say that we don't have what it takes. I'm not a public speaker, or I'm not strong, or I'm not smart enough, or I don't have the necessary talents. The Lord makes an obvious point to Moses. He says to Moses, Who has made man's mouth? Followed by a direct command, Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Now, we've examined each of Moses' reasons for saying no to God up to this point. I am nobody. What right do I have to do that? I have no credibility. I have no talents. But Moses goes one more round, and it's at this point that God gets angry with him. The fifth point of resistance is, I don't want to go. In his final point of resistance, Moses borders on rebellion. Oh, my Lord, please send someone else, he says in Exodus 4, verse 13. This left me wondering whether the earlier four reasons were actually just excuses. We've drilled down to Moses' ground zero, and he says, I don't want to go, get someone else. How do you feel when God asks you to do something that's big and bold, something that takes you out of your comfort zone? Is this what you want to say? No, God, get someone else. At this point, the Lord's anger burned against Moses, Exodus 4, 14. Moses had gone too far in his resistance. It was no longer about his apparent inadequacies and felt needs. It was now about the will of Moses versus the will of God. What can we learn from this encounter? Here are three simple lessons for us in conclusion. There may be more. Number one, when God initiates something, you need to get with His program. Number two, God provides what is needed to accomplish His purposes. This is captured in Hudson Taylor's saying, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And three, if you resist, you need to get honest with God and with yourself. What is the real reason you're resisting? Has God been calling you or your church community to do something that's new to you? Something that requires change? Something that requires boldness and movement out of your comfort zone? How are you responding? Are you resisting?
You've been listening to John B. McDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. McDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.